computers are able to start understanding a lot of the human behavior in terms of when we program it to, of course. Yeah, so we can do fight detection or kicking, rolling on the ground. Of course, you got to be careful where you deploy this. We deployed at a school, and it was not a fight. It was actually two lovers that were vigorously doing something else. So the difference between a high five and fist bumps, and you get to see how interesting humans are when you start giving parameters that a human gets to judge. And some of our behaviors are, you know, how teenagers might aggressively say hi and high five and chest bump, and looks a lot like dangerous behavior if you're in that quiet gift shop or high value retail store.
I'm Steve Stormbreaker, and this is Ephemeral Security. I have with me today Michael Green and Lisa Falzone from Athena Security. Would you both please introduce yourselves?
I am Lisa Falzone, CEO, president, and co-founder of Athena Security.
And I'm Michael Green, former president and now CEO of Athena Security.
Why did you decide to create Athena Security?
We started Athena Security because we really wanted to go after the atrocities that were happening in schools with school shootings. And we wanted to create technology to help stop some of these shootings. And I had just had my daughter and, you know, wanted to create a safe environment for her when she goes to school.
That makes sense. These school shootings have been going on for way too long. And it seems like people's hearts are in the right places to try to stop it. But there hasn't been a lot of progress over the years, right? In terms of reducing or weapons aren't making change. You know, it's in the Second Amendment, right? So the country has to find another way.
Right.
And it seems like maybe Athena Security might be that other way.
Right, exactly.
So what type of products does Athena Security sell?
So we sell temperature detection, and then we sell concealed weapon detection. So when someone comes in with a weapon or a raised temperature, we can detect when someone comes in with that and send an alert to whoever the client wants.
Got it. Okay. And where are your products typically deployed?
So we have hospitals, food manufacturing, casinos, schools. Those are big clients, verticals.
Okay. I think I saw after Christchurch, you guys are also in mosques now?
Yeah. Christchurch is one of our clients.
And when you started Athena Security, at that time, had anyone trained artificial intelligence to detect weapons, or was your company the first?
Yeah, so our first product is visual light gun detection. So when someone pulls out a gun, we can recognize if it's a gun and then send that alert to the police. But when we were selling that, people were like, hey, that's cool, but the weapon's already out. We want to detect concealed weapons. And so ever since then, we've been working on the concealed weapon detection technology. So we think we're around the first. I don't want to say for sure we were the first, but we were definitely one of the first companies to do that.
So I'm curious, what were some of the first steps you took to make your idea a reality?
Yeah, so we did like a lot of training. We hired our own actors. And so that's how we got all the training data. And then we put that product together. And then after a while with that product, it's like we got a lot of requests for, again, the concealed weapon detection, and a really large mall client that was like, hey, I really want thermal detection. And we were like, hey, thermal is not going to be 100% accurate. And he said, I don't care. If it detects concealed weapons, some of the time I want it. And that's right when COVID hit. So we looked at what we had, creating with the concealed weapon detection. And we said, wow, we can actually be a really good solution for the COVID crisis. Obviously not bulletproof, but for lack of a better term, but, to detect when someone has a raised temperature in biosecurity for the COVID crisis.
Got it. And the thermal detection, if I have this right, I was reading that it'll scan somebody and the temperature of the weapon will be very different from the temperature of a normal body. So it just kind of sticks out like a sore thumb if the weapon's on someone's body.
Yeah. I mean, it works the best if someone is coming, like from a really hot environment going into a cold, like when the heat differentiation is the most different. But yeah, and then it works mostly under a thin layer of clothing, so it doesn't work for jackets. So it definitely has its drawbacks, which is why we've added more sensors to come out with the concealed weapon detection along with the thermal.
Got it. And that's the millimeter wave detection, the metal detector, right?
Yeah. And some other sensors, yeah.
How do the metal detectors work, the millimeter wave detection?
So we're not actually using millimeter wave, but we are using both magnetic wave as well as a light electronic wave. And we're looking at metals in transition as they go through this multi-sensor network. And so we're understanding size, shape, type of metal as it goes through. And that's the core of the detection to understand what exactly it might be. And so if we can't determine exactly what it is, then we have to err on the side of safety in order to say, hey, we can't clear this person, in order to blow the alarm and flag an alert.
Got it. And from looking at the way deployment work, it looks like it's like these poles, for lack of a better word, that are about 3 feet apart, and an individual has to walk through them. Is that right?
That's right. So one of the single file people transit through the system. And as they walk through those poles with the thermal camera iPad, 6 to maybe 15 feet max away. So we do need those things. And we use the ability to set all those devices near each other. And everything kind of auto sets up in order to understand and reference the other parts of the device. So all these, the two poles and the thermal camera of the iPad, all set up together next to each other, so that people walk through in order to send an alert.
Do you have any deployments where there may be like 10 or 20 different rows of poles where essentially anybody coming in has to walk through a set of poles? Do you ever see that?
Yeah, of course. So whenever there's a large venue, there would be multiple lines, multiple queues. Of course, there's going to be a major difference between this technology and how fast people can enter like a stadium than traditional metal detection, which gets a lot more false positives. So the nuisance alarm rate is much higher with those legacy systems. And it's the additional technology in this multi-sensor system, which can separate out what's a commonly held personal item, like cell phone, belt buckles, glasses, those kinds of items, in order to not flag them so that we can say, hey, gone are the days of divesting. If someone does set off the alarm, oftentimes it's just groups of items together that need to be separated, and they go through again with everything separated so that the system can clearly tell that it's not a weapon.
Okay. And then I would think also this would be helpful if you think about like going to the TSA. I remember my boss and I, we were traveling to go to some data center, and he said that he had accidentally left a hunting knife in his carry-on bag. It was like a giant hunting knife. And, you know, when he arrived at his destination, he's like, yeah, I realized this. And he's like, I somehow got through airport security with this giant knife. And like, he was just shocked. So one would think that having a second set of detections, like your product, would be super helpful, maybe to flag individuals at but before they get there, so TSA knows to pay extra special attention to certain people.
That's exactly right. TSA last year alone found over 5,000 guns in the commercial traffic. Can you imagine how many? I mean, there's probably guns that did make it through, just the law of large numbers, and it's not foolproof. So every conversation with any customer starts with, what's the target? What are we trying to find? What kind of weapons are we trying to find? And are those down to things that are small, like small razor blades and small components that then can be assembled into something bigger? So TSA has a huge challenge. And I think all things said and done, the airlines have been really safe and have a great record of that. But as you just mentioned, your boss brought a pretty big blade, it sounds like, through. But that's not that surprising, just because orientation matters. And I don't know if it went through the millimeter wave, kind of the Smith machine where you stand up, put your arms up, or if it it's more likely it went through the X-ray machine and just was kind of sideways. So the thin side was seen. And there's a number of different technologies that are used for those X-ray scanners. And originally, they were pretty 2D all the way through. Nowadays, there's very three-dimensional versions
So when you put your bag in and it goes through that machine, it's everything from X-ray to CT. There's companies that have produced hospital grade equipment for scanning humans. And it's not unlike the devices now that are used for scanning baggage as it goes through. And so now it's done in more of a 3D way. And so that's going to be less frequent just because more of the hardware that's used, the scan, is doing cross-section analysis and is doing image recognition on different types of things that are not recognizable in someone's bag. And TSA has their own set of protocols, but if they can't identify it as safe, then they're supposed to run it through again. So I'm sorry to hear that, you know, a hunting knife was snuck through, but lots of unintentional and well-meaning people accidentally bring things, which is why at Athena, we think the future is going to be multiple layers of security and multiple types that are less invasive, less intrusive, so that people can come through the airport both faster as well as safer.
Oh, I just wanted to add that our main use case, while we can make airports safer and faster, the main use case we see is, like, for example, like a school or a hospital or a casino that doesn't want to put like metal detector to slow down the traffic, because this is just walkthrough and you don't have to slow down the traffic. And it doesn't make your casino or hospital or school look like a jail. So that really we see as the target client.
Right. That makes sense. Because I think people are accustomed to seeing something when they walk into stores. If you think about like a store that sells merchandise, like CVS, Walgreens, or an Hibbett clothing store, they have those things that'll beep at you if they suspect you've stolen clothing or something like that, right? So
yeah, RFID scanners.
Right. So people are pretty conditioned. Does your product also do RFID?
We've not had that request, but there's no reason we couldn't.
That would be an interesting application.
Yeah, so currently these poles would be, you know, max maybe 38, 39 inches. And for the most part for retail, they want that entryway as large as possible, like, you know, create a open, welcoming feeling as people come in.
That makes sense. So in terms of a typical deployment and getting that started, so let's say I'm a parent in a school district and I would like to approach the district and talk to them about getting a product like yours deployed across the school. What do you guys typically get those kind of requests from parents? And what would you say to them?
We get requests all the time, every day. And concerned parents are a leading source of interest from school districts. And typically, they're just looking for technologies to help create more peace of mind because they're scared. And obviously, there's the news media, which is covering in deeper ways lots of bad things happening all around the world, including, unfortunately, schools. And so, yeah, we get concerned parent calls that learn about the technology and take it to one of the administrators. Most school districts at this point have someone responsible for security that we get referred to. And the superintendent's also majorly involved in anything of this size, just because it would be a major purchase. And it also changes the way everyone comes into the building. And so superintendents are the main person that would take this to the school board and to the greater community to see if it's something that's wanted.
Right. So let's say the district can't afford having the metal detectors, but they do already have a camera system set up. In that case, your product can still help with that, though, right?
So we do have the video analytic that would see a gun line of sight if there's enough pixels of resolution to find it. So it's limited by being line of sight. And yes, we can help with that. It's not necessarily going to be any less expensive, though, just because we need to, it takes a lot of processing power, as well as there absolutely needs to be monitoring of a supervised system that would scan kind of the world in and around the school for guns.
When you're looking at our system, the entryway security system, it actually decreases the labor costs. So we actually save the school money.
Yeah, we like schools creating a red line in the entryway where that's the threshold for making sure to some degree of certainty that no one has a weapon before they come in. And that actually is a little cheaper, we think, and a little more effective for all intents and purposes, and a better way to deploy current technologies. With entryway checkpoint security, where everyone coming through gets scanned through the Athena concealed weapon detection system before coming in.
Right. And so in these cases, is this typically at multiple entrances or a single entrance?
So Department of Homeland Security, if you're talking about schools, is suggesting a reduction in the number of entryways and the use of a hardening of the entryway, and would then include our type of technology to scan people as they come through to make sure they don't have a gun.
Okay, so reduce the number of entrances and then have your product at those entrances. That's there's definitely got to be a change in how schools operate. I know, I think my kid's school has like 6 or 7 different entrances, right? They'd have to, you know, just keep certain doors locked if they were to implement your technology.
That's right. For the most part, those schools have a bus drop-off as well as a parent drop-off and kids that walk up. So in general, most schools have a couple main points of entry anyway.
Got it. And so thinking about, I guess, just some of the recent stuff in the news, there was the Brooklyn subway shooter, right? And I was looking at, they released CCTV footage of the individual responsible for the shooting. And he was carrying a roller bag on his way to the subway. And it was interesting. He was actually wearing an orange vest. Maybe that's what people, I don't know what people thought about that. But anyway, I guess the point is that he had his roller bag. So the thermal detection wouldn't have helped with that. But I would think that the metal detectors would have definitely detected it. And if those were, let's say, outside the subway, like let's say before you went on the steps, then your technology coupled with, let's say, a CCTV camera system would be able to flag that individual. So by the time they get to the turnstile, security could be on that guy, right? As opposed to maybe waiting until he gets to the turnstiles. But even then, the turnstile, I think I saw some of the, you guys could make the turnstile lock if that person was detected, and then he could get through the turnstiles, right? Is that what your interpretation is of that? Or?
You're right. That's right. And our detection is also so fast that that's possible. So our system scans someone in about a fourth of a second. So it's very fast. So as someone's walking through, it's almost instantaneously in real time being able to give a yes or no, and could send that person through again and not even allow them into the system.
That's great. So do you guys have deployments now that are connected to turnstiles?
We do. And we think that that's a great use case, especially in, so for instance, like places like warehouses, logistics centers, people are clocking in, badging in anyway. And as they go through, they can scan their badge, do a health check, make sure they don't have a high temperature, go through the security check. And we're doing this all, by the way, all at the same time in real time. They scan their badge, they walk through the turnstile, they've entered work, which is connected to the time carding as well. And, you know, everything's seamless in terms of the experience of that worker, for that worker as they come through. And it's a really fast way to get people in and keep the greater population of workers healthy as well as secure.
And for individuals that might be permitted to carry firearms, is there a way to link their like RFID so that individual and flag them as permitted?
Absolutely. So many firms, many have both private security as well as their own hired staff, and they can create their own rules around that.
Got it. Does your company operate only in the United States or globally?
Globally.
Got it. And do you have any statistics on if your products have stopped any bad situations before they started unfolding?
So it's hard to say if there's something that's going to happen. We know we've stopped guns. That happened on day one. So we're sure we're helping enforce the law. And yeah, I feel really confident about the effectiveness of our solution.
That's great. So does your product only detect guns, or does it also detect things like bombs and that sort of thing?
So this goes back to discussing with the client what they're trying to find and what that threat matrix looks like. So if you want to reference something like the Boston bombing, if all those patrons had to go through our system with what we'd call a standard security setting, standard level, then yes, I think we would have gotten the metal rice cooker, metal pots as they were coming in. That's quite a bit of metal in a shape that I think we would have detected. Also pipe bombs, if they're made out of hardened ferrous material, would be probably detected as well. So yeah, I think we could say, you know, some bomb detection, but then again, it depends on type of bomb.
Got it. And then there are some 3D printing guns that I've seen. And I know that from what I've been reading some research, they are quite hard to make in a way where they won't break when you try to shoot them. I think that, you know, from the limited information I have, that they're not very popular. Most people would just go get a regular gun instead of spending days and weeks trying to print their own gun. But have you guys given any thoughts to that, or would that be something you would tackle if they became prevalent?
Yeah, we get this question a lot in terms of 3D printed guns as well as ghost guns. And so if we're talking to someone that wants to make sure they're finding these types of weapons, we'd have a discussion about the type of metal that's being used. So we can find these, albeit anything that's smaller and uses less metal would be harder. And so we would be able to find these, I guess, is the bottom line. And many folks in our industry don't want to give more information to the public or people that might mean to do harm in order to defeat the system. But I would just say, yes, we'd find ghost guns and many 3D printed guns.
Got it. And I think I saw on your site, you guys also offer active shooter training.
Yeah. So we both have worked with experts in the field that provide the training, and we like being included in kind of the greater ecosystem of making schools and organizations safer. So we've worked with everyone from Department of Homeland Security to credentialed security folks that do trainings. And obviously mental health, if you're talking about schools, we think is a really important piece of the puzzle. There's all kinds of things that I'm, you know, read about for my own kids that I think is important, like viewing social media more like alcohol, where it can be abused. It can be lead to addiction and problems. For most people, for most kids, having an Instagram account probably is going to be fine, but obviously it's also possible to create a lot of harm for some individuals. The pandemic's been really hard on mental health, and so we've heard that over and over in terms of people feeling more lonely. More isolated, but I'm hoping that will change and is changing as people can socialize and connect on a more meaningful level as well.
Got it. So are there other possible deployment types you guys have thought about or are starting to introduce that maybe hasn't had broad adoption yet, but can make a big impact?
We're seeing some interest from healthcare organizations. It's something like over 60% of psychiatric nurses are experiencing some form of violence, meaning punched, kicked, screamed at, some kind of physical violence. And this is monthly. I was really shocked when I heard about this, just the amount of kind of menacing actions, typically in the emergency room. And so we think that emergency rooms are going to benefit from this technology. So we're actually going to the IAHSS show in Reno. May 16th, stop by our booth, 714, if you're in the healthcare security world, just because it's unfortunate to learn about how badly our product is needed, but we're also hoping we can do a lot of good there. Like the Cleveland Clinic, for instance, there's a quote, I don't remember the exact number, but it's hundreds of weapons are found a month coming through their doorway. And the majority of these are street-made types of knife-like weapons. You know, pieces of rebar that are sharpened, things like that. But if you're a nurse, a doctor trying to treat someone who's coming in, you want to make sure that before you start doing CPR, that it's safe to actually work on this patient. And so it's, on one hand, it's upsetting to learn about some of these realities. On the other, I'm glad we can help find a solution, scan people to make sure they're not bringing huge pieces of sharpened rebar in. And that's hundreds of these potential weapons that we're going to be taking out of some of these hospitals and therefore helping make those places safer for treatment and for workers. You asked about kind of generally types of deployments and styles, and I'm seeing also an uptick in man trap kind of concept, even if it isn't an official, when one door locks, the other closes with bulletproof glass. Just with automatic doors that don't open unless someone passes through our poles. So we're seeing that type of deployment as well in lots of different types of settings. I already mentioned logistics warehousing, connected to turnstiles, but for high value retail and a set of other types of customers that would have a vestibule with multiple doors, we see that concept as making those locations safer too.
Yeah, I could definitely see that for sure with retail. And if you think like, I know I was talking with my cousin's wife. This was like probably like a decade ago or something. And she worked at a jewelry store and they had trapped the bad guys in between, because I guess they had double doors. Like you go through one set of doors and then there's another set of doors, and both set of double doors can't be opened at the same time. And they ended up trapping the bad guys in that area. And you know, they had happened to get lucky, right? Because you know, bad guys aren't the smartest. but if they had your technology, it being able to have this man trap type thing as well hooked up to it, it would certainly be helpful. So going back to the healthcare security and the psychiatric area and fights. So are you saying that your technology can also detect fights?
Yeah, in years past, we, through the video analytic, detect fights and would send alarms based on fights. What we found is that for the most part, keeping weapons out is more valuable. In terms of the fights, usually it's quite a ruckus, but there's less long-term damage if someone doesn't have a weapon. And so that's where we've worked on mitigating the bigger risks, which is, you know, death and multiple casualties. So multi-casualty, that's how we're trying to define that as kind of the bigger category of what we're trying to mitigate.
Okay, but I'm kind of going down this road here. I'm going to keep pulling on this thread. So if you think about like a prison riot, right? So those weapons, at least from what I've seen on TV, they're like a lot of times, you know, homemade, right? Like a sharpened toothbrush or something, right? But once enough people, you know, get riled up, you know, prison riots do happen. Could that be an application to in prisons to see?
You know, I think if all the prisoners are rioting, I think there's, I don't think you need a video analytic for that. But yeah, you would love talking to our CTO. We call him the mad scientist. He loves just figuring out what's possible. Whereas I'm a little more boring on that front because I'm just more talking about what our customers are asking for. If you want to just talk about the technology and what's possible and what we've done in our lab, then absolutely. We've done lots of neat video analytics that can tell if someone's loitering in a ATM or sleeping there or spending too much time around, you know, some kind of object. We've done suspicious object detection. So say someone's at a bus stop, they come with a bag, but then they leave it. Now we can tell you if that bag's still there and they left. What other stuff? Slip and fall detection for, you know, we thought particularly nursing homes or in public areas, if someone fell, couldn't get up. Menacing behavior, aggressive behavior. So computers are able to start understanding a lot of the human behavior in terms of when we program it to, of course. Yeah, so we can do fight detection or kicking, rolling on the ground. Of course, you got to be careful where you deploy this. We deployed at a school and it was not a fight. It was actually two lovers that were vigorously doing something else. So the difference between a high five and fist bumps, and you get to see how interesting humans are when you start giving parameters that a human gets to judge. And some of our behaviors are, you know, how teenagers might aggressively say hi and high five and chest bump, and looks a lot like dangerous behavior if you're in that quiet gift shop or high value retail store.
Interesting. Got it. So I guess I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the lessons learned just along the way while you were building this company. What were some of the biggest challenges and some lessons learned, like maybe the hard way while building your company?
I think that when we started, we kind of started from more of like an altruistic standpoint versus more so product market fit. But, you know, through listening to our clients, people were like, hey, you know, I really wanted to detect weapons underneath people's clothing before, you know, they take it out. And so the visual light gun detection was good. We could save a lot more lives and make a lot bigger impact through the concealed. And there's obviously a lot more demand for that. So, you know, we learned a lot about the security industry and everything doing the visual light gun detection. And then, you know, through the feedback from that, kind of worked on the concealed weapon detection, which we're really excited about.
Were there any mentors that had a big impact on your life?
Lisa Falzon.
You know, I love to kind of just like look up to like kind of the big entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs and Albert Einstein, who was really an entrepreneur, but you know what I mean? And just some of these big leaders and visionaries and innovators. And so kind of like use kind of what they have said and you know, try to apply it to my own entrepreneurial journey.
Got it. What's some of the best advice you've been given?
The best advice I've been given, it's hard to say, like, I think like failure is really like a figment of your imagination. You kind of like define that yourself, and same with success, really. Like success is a figment of your imagination. And so I think as like entrepreneurs, we get like so caught up in like, what is it like defining that and defining what success means, and success could be different for other people. And same with failure, right? Like, is it a failure or is it just a pivot? Is it, you know, something that you can learn from? And so I think if you just have the approach of like what you can learn from and try and like detach yourself from the outcome, I think it's really helpful and kind of frees you to really enjoy the ride.
That's great. I like that.
Yeah.
What advice would you give first-time entrepreneurs?
I see a lot of first-time entrepreneurs just kind of getting stuck in like, oh, maybe I'll, you know, think of this idea when I'm like sitting at home after work or talking with friends. It's like, I think that people just spend a lot of time not engaging with customers. And again, I've only really been a B2B startup entrepreneur, so I'm not so much talking B2C, but I think the most important thing is to really get out and like, if you're thinking about, you know, a security project, go talk to some security people, kind of like get out there and get out of the office, get out of the building and start talking to people, and they'll tell you what you need to build.
Got it. Yeah, that goes back to, it sounds like when you initially launched the gun detection through the video and then found out that the customers really wanted something else.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, yeah. And I think that will still be like a big product. I just don't think it's as big and as impactful as what we're doing now. So I think what we're doing now will really make the world safer.
Yeah, this is huge. This is kind of, if I was in your shoes, I'd be patting myself on the back every day. I mean, this is huge in terms of like the impact in the lives that your product is saving. It's got to be great working with people that want to do the same thing and they want to do good and want to help change people's lives.
Right, exactly. And like using technology for good and building a business that also has that altruistic standpoint. Thank you.
Cool. Is there anything else that you guys want to touch on today?
I'm good. You've been very thorough.
Yeah, people tend to tell me that. Great. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to be here today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
I'll put a link to Athena Security in my show notes. And I also probably have some diagrams in the show notes for some of your products and links to those as well.
That'd be great. And we'd love to, you know, we're trying to get our word out. So to the extent that you can help that, we really appreciate it.
Definitely.
If you liked the episode today and would like to help support us, please hit subscribe, drop us a review, or share it with your friends. Thanks.